The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At last Saturday's annual diocesan council, as you might expect, each of our three bishops had something to say. Bishop Susan Goff's talk was deceptively simple. What she said to us was, just breathe. She reminded us that to breathe effectively, we have to inhale and exhale. We can't just breathe in or just breathe out. We must do both. And the more balanced the actions, the more effective our breathing. Optimum health requires breathing in and breathing out in equal measure. Bishop Susan went on to note that in order to be healthy, churches too need to breathe in and breathe out, to inhale and exhale. We inhale by coming together and by caring for each other. We exhale by taking what we have received in our time together and from each other out into the world. Inhale, exhale. This morning, for example, we gather together as individuals, as families, and as a church family for Sunday worship, parish breakfast, an adult forum, and Sunday school. Breathe in. And at the conclusion of Holy Communion, one of our final prayers will be to send us now into the world in peace and grant us courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. In other words, breathe out. In this morning's gospel, we see a powerful example of the importance and power of breathing in. On their way to Jerusalem, Jesus and at least one of his disciples have come to the home of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. They're there to have dinner in Bethany. Lazarus, Martha, and Mary were brother and sisters, as well as Jesus' dear friends. Just a few days earlier, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, which understandably had thrilled Martha and Mary and their friends. However, it had enraged some of the Pharisees and high priests enough to set in motion their plot to kill Jesus. By the time he arrived for dinner in Bethany, Jesus was fully aware that his life was in danger and that the situation that he faced in Jerusalem was bound to be volatile. His heart was undoubtedly heavy. How comforting it must have been to share a meal with people whom he loved and who loved him. As we know from an earlier story about Martha and Mary, Martha was characteristically serving Jesus and her brother Lazarus, who sat at the table. On the other hand, Mary's actions may well have shocked her siblings and other guests, with the possible exception of Jesus. As he and the others sat at the table, Mary took a pound of pure nard, a costly perfume, and a lot of it, and anointed Jesus' feet with it. She then wiped his feet with her hair. At that moment, it's hard to conceive of a more extravagant and intimate gesture. Put yourself in Jesus' place. He's facing, at best, uncertainty, and at worst, a gruesome death. He's emotionally and physically exhausted from the demands of his ministry and the grief of nearly losing his friend Lazarus. Finally, he can sit down among friends, eat a good meal, drink some good wine, and relax. And then comes the finest foot rub anyone could experience. Imagine the smell of that luxurious perfume wafting through the house, mingling with the aromas from dinner. Breathe in. The wonderful feeling of Mary's hair on his feet. The cares and concerns of the past and future melting away. Breathe in. the gratitude for being tended so lovingly, the sense that someone knows what he faces and what he needs to help him get through it. Breathe in. Mary knows that Jesus is in grave danger. The gift of her love, her touch, and her perfume will fortify him as he faces the next 6 days. And for all we know, the strong smell of that perfume will still be on his feet, enough to be some small comfort as he endures his punishment and death on the cross. Breathe in. Judas, who will soon be one of the people who betrays Jesus, raises a ruckus. Surely, he claims, the perfume could be sold and the proceeds could be given to the poor. Certainly a worthy way of exhaling, no matter what Judas's motives are. But Mary understands that this night at her house is a time to inhale. Jesus will inevitably spend most of the next 6 days exhaling, ministering to those who follow him into Jerusalem and the synagogue there, teaching and tending to his disciples and others, washing their feet, and enduring betrayal, berating, beating, and ultimately death. Mary understands that this night is evermore a time for breathing in, and her extravagant, indulgent, lavish, and loving gesture is the big inhale that Jesus needs to face the days to come. How interesting that before we head into Palm Sunday, Holy Week, and Easter, the last two gospel readings in Lent, a season that we often consider in terms of self-denial and scarcity, both emphasize the abundance of God's love. Last week's gospel proclaims that love in the story of the prodigal son who claimed and squandered his inheritance early, only to return to a father who awaits him with open arms and jubilantly celebrates his return, much to the consternation and disgust of his much better behaved older brother. But the father puts his faith and actions in the belief that whatever happens next, and we don't know, the young man is more likely to hang in there if he has been loved and celebrated and forgiven. Breathe in, breathe out. And in a quite different way, today's gospel proclaims that love in the story of how God's own son needs and gratefully receives the generous love of his friends, which will fortify him for the final days of his ministry on earth and strengthen him as he faces death. Breathe in, breathe out. I've already mentioned ways in which we are all breathing in this morning through our worship, praying and singing and sharing communion, enjoying a delicious breakfast lovingly prepared by fellow parishioners, attending Sunday school where our children and youth will learn more about our faith, an adult forum where we adults heard from and learned about our new director of children's ministries, Amelia McDaniel. Over the coming week, together and individually, the St. Mary's community will continue to inhale. Middle school youth group go-karting, a pastoral care team meeting, Bible study, noonday and evening prayer, our final Lenten supper, choir rehearsals, and the faithful service of this month's Altar Guild team, to name just a few. And how will we exhale? The St. Mary's parishioners who cooked our breakfast and taught Sunday school and who sing in the choir are exhaling. So are the pastoral care team members who care for fellow parishioners and the faithful crew who will feed us again on Wednesday evening. Where else will we breathe out? As we at St. Mary's discern where we've been, where we are, and where God is calling us to be, let's pay attention to the inhales and the exhales. What calls each of us won't be the same for all of us, but the better that we do both, breathe in and breathe out, the stronger we all are. During the final leg of this year's Lenten journey, let the assurance of God's abundant love inspire you. And just breathe. Amen.